spying on supposedly free Americans with 5,265 surveillance cameras. And as if we aren't already up to our eyes in goons, an entire brigade of the U.S. Army on call. The cost for this hyperbolic hysteria? Hundreds of millions at a time when taxpayers can't scrape together next month's mortgage, all for an inauguration that has attracted no specific threats. Critics contend that this is overkill. Go figure. You can say this for the TSA and the millions of Americans cheering an emperor who has no clothes. They deserve one another. Shoe bombers strike Washington. Great photos, great videos. Goodbye, Bush. Chant in crowded Washington metro area. This from the Deutsche Press Agency. Washington thrummed with excitement Tuesday as tens of thousands in crowded subway cars poured through the streets to celebrate the end of one era and the beginning of another. The end of the beginning. In just the few hours as Obama took over from Bush, metro riders L'Enfant Plaza, stalled by train problems, began to sing goodbye, Bush, over and over and over, they chanted. The mood was as much an outpouring of support for the country's first African-American president as it was a celebration of the Republican president's departure after 8 increasingly unpopular years in the White House. One bright note, I would say, Bush did actually commute the sentences of Ramos and Compeon, the border guys, who shot an illegal drug smuggler who had a gun, I believe, pointed at them. One of the other good bits, and found this out the night before the inauguration, but let's return again. One more note from Keith Olbermann and Darth Cheney.
Good evening from Washington. This is Monday, January 19th, hours until the inauguration of President-elect Barack Obama and the end of an error. And there is breaking news at this hour that seems like a metaphor for that error. Vice President Cheney has today hurt his back while moving boxes into his new home in McLean, Virginia. He will attend tomorrow's inauguration here in a wheelchair.
Cheney finally wheeled away. It was quite the joy to be able to see Darth Cheney get wheeled off in a wheelchair. However, I would rather him see him in The Hague. And it was, of course, a joy to see Bush get in the helicopter and fly away like some disgraced, disgusting Nixon. And I saluted him with the middle finger. And then, of course, found out later that, of course, millions of other people were doing the same thing. Moving quickly, if I'm ever going to get through all this ridiculous things, even from the first day, Limbaugh, of course, says, I hope Obama fails. That's from thinkprogress.org. How Obama is wooing the military from Time magazine. It goes through basically a nice little photo op appearance and how the military really likes Obama, and they'll really be down to do whatever he says. There's a video from, again, Swampland on Time, Obama's National Day of Service, or Obama's Day of National Service. But 19th was MLK Day. So, on the 19th, it was MLK Day. On the 20th, they inaugurated a new president who also is black. Some people connect the two events. They can't be serious. Even after the ceasefire, civilians in Gaza are still being slaughtered, and Obama's silence is deafening. Like McCain, Obama went to AIPAC on bended knee to get their blessing. Link for you to that whole video. We covered it in the thrall of AIPAC, Why Obama Can't Save Us, going back to January of 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com. It's an insult to King and his memory to compare the two. Obama needs to earn the comparison, and right now, he is far from it.
Time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. And I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. What do they think as we test out our latest weapons on them, just as the Germans tested out new medicine and new tortures in the concentration camps of Europe? Now that is little left to build on save bitterness. We are met by a deep but understandable mistrust. To speak for them is to explain this lack of confidence in Western words, and especially their distrust of American intentions now. world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. This way of settling differences is not just. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Somehow this madness must cease. We must stop now. I speak as one who loves America, to the leaders of our own nation. The great initiative in this war is ours. The initiative to stop it must be ours.
The differences are amazingly apparent. That is a real anti-war leader. Pro-peace leader. That's Martin Luther King. Silence is betrayal. Moving quickly, or at least trying to, and do it justice. From Wikinews, Obama's We Are One concert for Lemmings, brought to you by HBO, Disney, and Verizon, that attracted 400,000. From Threat Level, however, Obama to defend telecom spy immunity. The incoming Obama administration will vigorously defend congressional legislation immunizing U.S. telecom companies from lawsuits about their participation in the domestic spy program. That was the assessment by Eric Holder, new attorney general, who made the statement during his confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Change. Change you can spy on. Overflow of updates. Run down the list. From everywhere, from Press TV to McClatchy. It's the addresses, the bids goodbye, the fact checks. Of course, Obama goofs right off the bat on the amount of presidents that have been sworn in. Obama's speech censored in China. Chris Matthews, exuberant at the inauguration, gushes about how great the new MSNBC is.
Well, there's one thing you can't see at home. I have never seen so many teeth in my life. Everybody is smiling. I mean, it's all teeth out there when you get close.
Well,
every time I look out at the crowd, the people have got big smiles.
Combination of smiling and the weather.
Yeah, well,
that's
too.
Because there's like chattering going on.
Your teeth start to get, your lips start to stick. But I'll tell you, it is radiant happiness. In fact, just us lucky enough to be in this business today, looking out the window here and getting the reaction when the crowd catches your eye. It is such a deal.
Well, as we noticed, again, we all walked through this crowd to some degree. I don't know how many good mornings were said today.
Well, it sure as hell helps to be on MSNBC today. Let's talk straight here. This is the network that has opened its heart to change, and its possibilities. Let's be honest about it. These people watch this network out here.
Oh, being so modest, and of course, there's Olbermann sneaking in again on the Microsoft General Electric network. Record masses of 2 million meet Obama Psy on the mall. That's from the Washington Times. Media unleash round-the-clock Obama mania. Hardly in office, and already Obama makes a mistake. Again, from McClatchy, again, the amount of presidents that have been inaugurated. Few protesters at inauguration. That's from the New York Times. A slideshow from Time Magazine. Oprah and Obama shared a top-secret dinner just a short distance away from the White House. Oprah and Obama joining forces for the new age. However, on the morning of the inauguration, Alex Jones was on Russia Today, of course, putting it out that, of course, everyone's going to be immensely disappointed in the Obama Messiah.
Well, to comment on this historic moment in American history, we're now joined live on the phone by radio host Alex Jones. Hello to you, Alex Jones. Obama's pre-election campaign was focused on getting the U.S. out of the crisis, but this inauguration is the most expensive in the country's history. In a time of financial crisis, is spending so much money on an inauguration appropriate?
Well, look, the Anglo-American establishment is bragging in Newsweek magazine, the Financial Times of London. Henry Kissinger has said on CNBC television that they have orchestrated the financial crisis. The oligarchs of England and the United States are engineering this entire thing, so they could care less about $150 million for an inauguration, a few hundred million more for 47,000 armed regular army troops and police on the streets turning America into another police state. So, $150 million for parties at his inauguration is nothing compared to the overall program that they're carrying out. Obama is betraying everyone. We, in U.S. history, we have never worshipped a leader as God. But our corporate media is saying this guy is basically God. They are trying to get the public behind all these unpopular things, like $8.5 trillion stolen by the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve out of the U.S. Treasury in the last 3 months, along with banker takeover bills. Even Bloomberg News admits War Powers Act has been declared. Congress has been threatened with physical martial law if they don't go along with this. Bush has passed the baton to Barack Obama. He's going to try to get international support to encircle Russia further, to move weapon systems into Russia, to escalate tensions with Iran. Barack Obama, if people didn't like George Bush, they're going to hate Barack Obama. This guy is a corporate creation of the banking elite in this country. And so, of course, while people are losing their jobs, and many economists, including Economist Magazine, are saying we're going into a depression, of course he's partying like it's 1999. Of course he's having a great time. Of course he's arrogantly up there making Mona Lisa, Benito Mussolini faces, and, you know, holding his head high with the chin up in the air. They want this guy to act like a messianic savior, and it's not going to work. They're setting up youth brigades, the compulsory national service in the United States. They're organizing what Mao Zedong did, a separate group outside government at usaservice.org, where people will openly serve him, just like Mao's youth corps. You cannot make this type of stuff up. The world needs to dread Barack Hussein Obama.
Putting it down, Alex Jones on Russia Today. Youth brigades, green brigades, pledges, corporate creations. So the question that we mentioned earlier, Obama's rise due to blue blood ancestry or the power of the American dream? You can, of course, follow the connections to being cousins with Bush and Cheney and all their connections to Vlad the Impaler and Brad Pitt. Ted Kennedy was taken out on a stretcher from the luncheon at the inauguration after experiencing convulsions. We'll, of course, get to Caroline Kennedy pulling out from the Senate and the new updates on that. However, the first note of this, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I swim in these waters. I can tell you, the inaugural oath thing is going to become a conspiracy. So first, on CNN, they said it. Robert screwed up the oath.
The President of the United States, Barack Obama, we no longer call him the President-elect. He is the President of the United States. He's been President now for almost 50 minutes. He became President even before he was officially administered the oath of office by the Chief Justice John Roberts, because exactly at noon Eastern, according to the United States Constitution, he becomes President of the United States, oath or not. And they were running a little bit behind schedule. That's why he became President even before he was formally sworn in.
An interesting, we're about to see them coming down the steps, heading toward the helicopter. David Gergen, an interesting moment, though, which we have not yet talked about, though, which will be much talked about in the hours ahead. The actual oath of office by John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he messed it up.
He seemed to scramble the words there and about this the second. At first, I wasn't sure. Did Barack Obama scramble that?
No, it was the Chief Justice. Jeff Toobin is around. He's the authority on the United States Supreme Court. Jeff, as we await the departure of the outcome, the former President George Bush, he's going to board that helicopter and head off eventually to Andrews Air Force Base and then Texas. What do you think? John Roberts had one job to do today, and he sort of screwed up.
Wolf, I almost fell out of my chair. You know, it's only a 35-word oath. It's actually much shorter than the Vice President's oath, and it's one of the most famous parts of the Constitution. But what Roberts did is he put the word faithfully, faithfully execute the office of President. But he said, execute the office of president faithfully. And you saw Obama almost start to chuckle because he knew the oath and they got it together. But as you pointed out, he was already president by that point.
Jeff, hold on, Jeff. There's the shot. The President of the United States, Barack Obama, the former President of the United States, George W. Bush, they're walking down those stairs. He's escorting the former president to that Marine Corps helicopter that will be taking him off, taking him over to Andrews Air Force Base. The Bushes have gone. They're gone from the White House, Anderson. No more stuff there. They're packed up. They're out of there, and they're moving back to Texas.
Back to the movie set, because, of course, they're carpet-bagging Nazis from Kennebunkport, Maine. But my man Alex in Germany, of course, posted up, yeah, the Bushes are gone. But the first posting he got from WhiteHouse.gov as their new agenda in the defense section, quotes, extend global power, harden U.S. satellites against attack, win hearts and minds. Actual quotes from WhiteHouse.gov on the defense tab. Sounds nice. Sounds like big change. There's a nice op-ed from Christopher Ketchum that's over on counterpunch.org, and now I'm running short on time, and I'm not going to have time to read through it. It's basically the inauguration ad nauseum, as he watches the Dog and Pony Show that, of course, is paid for by you and I, for the most part, of course, funded by Wall Street and the corporate elite. Oh, happy day. Thus doth change descend among us in the same old purple raiment and with smiling largesse that the peons pay for. January 20th is a historic wasted opportunity. Enough said. See you on day one when the work begins. Christopher Ketchum, inauguration ad nauseam. Which brings us to Obama's first day, second oath, and the Third World War. Obama's Day 1, Recession, War, Ethics, and More from the Associated Press in a first-day whirlwind. President Obama showcased efforts to revive the economy and summoned top military officials to the White House to chart a new course in Iraq. What an opportunity we have to change this country. He, of course, on the good side, and there are good notes, and we will cover those new ethics rules for his administration. Fairly cosmetic, if you ask me. Obama gets to work with whirlwind first day and second oath. That's from the DPA, but from Kurt Nemo, day one for the global savior Obama. Now that Obama's installed in the Oval Office, the job of saving the world can begin. Of course, that's what the corporate media tells us. This one-term senator, basically a man out of nowhere, will save us. In fact, Barack Obama cannot save us, and that will not be his job, even though millions apparently believe it. Obama's a front man for the NWO. He's a used car salesman tasked with selling us on global fascism, that is to say, transnational corporatism. As Obama wrote for the Globalist Council on Foreign Relations periodical Foreign Affairs, the security and well-being of each and every American depend on the security and well-being of those who live beyond our borders. For the globalists, security and well-being translates into invading small and enfeebled countries like Iraq and Afghanistan in order for the global elite to be secure, that is to say, for them to retain power and push their world domination agenda forward. Small nations resisting globalization must be invaded and carpet-bombed with depleted uranium or white phosphorus. However, the next clip comes up, this time, of course, from Fox and Chris Wallace, doubting that Obama's even president because of the bungled oath.
And I will tell you, I asked these folks how they felt about the Chief Justice flubbing the oath a little bit, which for me, as somebody who covered the Supreme Court, was a bit of a surprise. They felt the way I felt, which was, it's nice to see that even the Chief Justice of the United States and our new president can get a little nervous in the big days.
Chris? You know, Megan, I have to say, I'm not sure that Barack Obama really is the president of the United States, because the oath of office is set in the Constitution. And I wasn't at all convinced that even after he tried to amend it, that John Roberts ever got it out straight and that Barack Obama ever said the prescribed words. I suspect that everybody is going to forgive him and allow him to take over as president. But I'm not sure he actually said what's in the Constitution there.
Chris, if it ever got to the Supreme Court, you have to know there'd be at least one vote
that's
in favor
right.
of
that's
it.
Right. Britt is saying, Megan, that at the Supreme Court, that John Roberts will definitely vote that, yes, he has taken the proper oath of office.
That's a very good point. That sounds like a case for Kelly's court. Listen, before I toss it back to you, Chris.
Are you prepared to take the oath, Senator?
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will execute the office of President of the United States faithfully.
That I will execute
the
faithfully the office of President of the United States. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Well, again, we're wondering here whether or not Barack Obama, in fact, is the president of the United States. They had a kind of garbled oath. It's just conceivable that that this will end up going to the courts. But as Britt humorously pointed out, if it goes to the Supreme Court, certainly Chief Justice Roberts will say that he took the oath. But that was a somewhat garbled moment on what was really a flawless day. Here's the picture of another swearing-in ceremony that they did, yesterday? They did this yesterday to swear him in. You see this picture. I don't know if you guys have seen this picture or if you can where you're at. Do you notice anything unusual about this picture?
There's no Bible.
I've checked. We have never had president sworn into office without a Bible. Was there no one on the staff that said, hey, we better get a Bible because there's going to be a picture taken? Is there no Bible in the White House? Does this bother or just make anybody go, wow, that's a first?
No, it's not, Glenn Beck. There's more research to be done. So wrong as though those guys are, of course, again, if this becomes the great conspiracy, is he a citizen? Did they do the inauguration? Did they do the oath right? Wrong questions. They don't have to care about the answers. However, it is interesting, and there's lots of historical notes to be taken from the Washington Post and thinkprogress.org. No Bible used in Obama's second oath. And as I run out of time, I know there's no way I can... It's as I was researching this and posting all this stuff up, bizarre media synchronicities as far as The Simpsons and Futurama and Bibles and presidential oaths and Chester A. Arthur. Look up Chester A. Arthur. But don't get Chester A. arthritis. Obama offers internationalist vision. That's from IPSnews.net. Security team could use presidential doubles. That's from the Telegraph. Security experts said doubles could be used for public photo opportunities where Obama's not required to speak but may be exposed to a potential threat. Obama's understood to be against the idea of using doubles of himself because the tactic, you know, is generally associated with Hussein, Kim Jong-il, Stalin, and Hitler. But following hundreds of threats to his life, already some of those charged with protecting him believe it may become an option. However, the best-known Obama lookalike so far said he doesn't want the job. Iham Anas, 34, an Indonesian photographer who bears a striking resemblance to the president, said, "I don't want to get shot." Inaugural prayer slam prompts Obama smile. WorldNet Daily and the strange questions about whoever that preacher was who gave that prayer, and it says something about white embracing what's right. Again, race card, division, divisive politics. It happens from both sides. Don't get stuck in it. U.S. Senate confirms Clinton as Secretary of State. That's from Wikinews. Of course, everybody's all together, back, big, happy family. Of course, conflict of interest with Billy Boy Clinton and his foundation. But conflict of interest never stopped the war party. Obama appoints top-notch CFR and Bilderberg members, more of them. Senate committee approves Timothy Geithner as Treasury Chief. This from the International Herald Tribune. You know, the guy who hasn't paid taxes and who hires illegals as his housekeepers. The guy who's been in the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. He didn't pay taxes. But, of course, they approved him. Again, conflict of interest holds no water here. This emperor has no clothes. It will all end in tears. A blog from Gerald Warner over on thetelegraph.co.uk, but from Paul Joseph Watson, Obama's nightmare green agenda officially unveiled. Of course, implementing cap-and-trade program, cut carbon dioxide emissions by 80%, and sink the battered U.S. economy into a new Great Depression is now officially announced on WhiteHouse.gov. According to the outline for the Obama-Biden Comprehensive New Energy Plan for America plan, plan isn't in there twice. I messed up. New Energy for America plan. The administration will, quote, implement an economy-wide cap-and-trade program to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 80% by 2050. The proposal has its roots in the defeated 2007 Lieberman-Warner bill, America's Climate Security Act, link, 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 which proposed a cap-and-trade system to reduce carbon emissions 70% by 2050. If such a program were to be fully implemented, the consequences for the American economy would be devastating. The 2007 bill was rejected for good reason. Its passage would have created economic conditions comparable to New Great Depression and sunk America to near third world status. Link, link, link. Obama inauguration got 35 times the coverage of Bush. That's from Reuters. 35,000 more stories. Obama, of course, sides with Bush in the spy case. We hit this before. Here's the update from Threat Level. Obama administration fell in line with the Bush administration when it urged a federal judge to set aside a ruling in a closely watched spy case weighing whether a U.S. president may bypass Congress and establish a program of eavesdropping on Americans without warrants, PDF links, and downloads. But, of course, it's not all completely terrible, and now that I'm running low on time, I'm going to have to gloss over the good things. And that's unfortunate. I will pay more attention to the positive movements. Obama orders Guantanamo's closure within a year. That's, of course, from Washington Post. That's, of course, we'll see how that all works out. Caroline Kennedy withdraws from the New York Senate. The New York Post says a source said she never had a chance. If we glance at the news, Kirsten E. Gillibrand, the two-term Democratic congresswoman chosen to fill the Senate seat vacated by Hillary Rodham Clinton, is now going to be the New York senator, appointed by Governor Patterson of New York, who was, of course, appointed after Elliot Spitzer wrote about predatory lending practices in the banksters, and he had to go. Obama frees Bush historical records. That's from Robert Perry and ConsortiumNews.com. Ordering the closure of the CIA secret prisons. Cryptogon notes, and again, as we will have to do, give credit where credit is due, opening up records from the Bush administration, trying to close Guantanamo, trying to close CIA secret prisons. Well, we got to read the fine print. From the Washington Post, many Bush officials held over at Homeland Stupidity. Of course, we're keeping Robert Gates. We're keeping lots of DHS officials. Existentialist Cowboy asks and tells you why Obama must insist on the prosecution of Bush for capital crimes. And we'll see if that happens, kids. Obama's orders leave torture and indefinite detention intact. That's the last and most recent update I have on the new administration of hope and change and continuity. That's from Global Research. It's basically an article about reading the fine print on all the fancy headlines that we're hearing from the new savior and his criminal cabinet. We're going to have to read the fine print. And that's all for the Obamasiah coronation. I definitely am glad it all went off without a hitch. You're just bracing yourself. That's been the whole kind of catch. And that's somehow the almost effective threat-aganda from all of these guys, is always been waiting for the other shoe to drop on the 9/11. I would have thought Bush and the boys would have rolled out bin Laden's corpse on the day before the inauguration. It would have been perfect. That date was also January 19th, 119, or 911 backwards. A little numerology for you. I was hoping they'd roll out bin Laden, then Bush sails off into the sunset. However, it's not all roses. And so, with all eyes on the inaugural bread and circus, this little buzzkill sneaks in and reminds us that politicians will almost always lie if they think they can get away with it. Returning to Portland, Oregon, and the mayor of Portland, Oregon, Sam Adams, reeling from a sex scandal. This from our own Oregonian, Portland Mayor Sam Adams. This is jumping back a few days as this controversy bubbles. And again, when you're in the middle of it, I'm not sure how national this story is. Portland Mayor Sam Adams made a public statement in a press conference. We're going to hear a moment from that. In response to news reports that he had a sexual relationship with an 18-year-old in the summer of 2005 and on the eve of his campaign for the city's highest office, lied about it and urged the young man to lie about it as well. The mayor's spokesman, of course, set the stage for Sam Adams' press conference. I should have been honest about what happened, but I was not.
I'm Angelica Thornton in the K2 newsroom. We want to briefly interrupt the inauguration events, which are running behind schedule. You'll continue to see them on your screen as we bring you breaking news from Portland City Hall, where Mayor Sam Adams is issuing a public apology after lying about having a sexual relationship with a teenage intern.
Let's listen. Yesterday to individual news outlets, I want to reiterate my acknowledgement of mistakes that I've made, and I want to apologize to Portlanders for those mistakes. In the past, I characterized my relationship with Bo Breedlove as one being purely non-sexual, and that's not true. Bo Breedlove and I had a sexual relationship for a few months in the summer of 2005. After he turned 18 years of age. I lied at the time. Until yesterday, with the exception of Bo, I have not discussed with anyone the true nature of my relationship with him, not with my colleagues, not with my boyfriend, family. Because of my elected position in the community and because of the difference of our age, I also want to acknowledge that it was inappropriate for me to have a sexual relationship with an 18-year-old, and I want to apologize to the community for having done so. And I want to apologize to the people of Portland for my dishonesty and for embarrassing them. As one of the leaders of the gay community, I also want to apologize to the gay community for embarrassing them. I should have been truthful from the very beginning. So, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mayor, why do you believe that you did not have sex with this person before he turned 18?
Last night you described to us a meeting you had with Bo Breedlove prior to his 18th birthday where you talked to him about an intimate relationship that said it wouldn't be appropriate until after his 18th birthday, but yet you admitted you had these conversations with a 17-year-old. Was that appropriate?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Last night you were 18 years old.
Lunch at Marconi Grill.
Alone would be inappropriate.
I aired the relationship after he became 18 did become sexual.
Mayor, did you lie about anything else during your campaign for mayor?
No, not that I'm aware of.
What about Bo Breedlove's parents, Mayor? We've got a 42-year-old man, a 44-year-old man, trying to date their kid. He was 17, he went to his party, and before he dated him, he was 18 and his bedding.
Before he's 18?
No, when he's 18, you're a veteran.
Well, this was a consensual relationship, but again, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it was appropriate for me to have that relationship.
You heard it. I don't think it was appropriate. That's from Sam Adams. That's from the currently embattled mayor of Portland, Oregon. And that's just a little clip. So again, I mentioned I have a fuzzy TV channel that I was watching the inauguration on, as I had other media playing and was blogging and posting and writing and listening and watching. And I looked at some point and they went into split screen and I saw, Sam Adams is doing a press conference. Late the night before, on the 19th, the story had broke that Adams had finally said, yes, I lied about the relationship during the campaign. And by the next day, he was in D.C. attending a mayoral conference and, of course, the inauguration, but, of course, had to give a press conference. That whole press conference is up on YouTube, links for you there. However, the last update I have posted up before we look at Google News real quick, again from the Oregonian, Adams stays home as support crumbles. Mayor Sam Adams holed up in his North Portland house Wednesday, making phone calls and apologizing, but every sign from eroding support among gay and lesbian leaders to the deafening silence from Adams' political mentors to his own tone of voice signaled resignation. I've been involved in Oregon politics for a long time, and I obviously understand people's anger and frustration, Adams said Wednesday. His somber tone was striking in contrast to the firm determination to stay in office he expressed earlier in the week. On Wednesday, the Oregonian, the Portland Tribune, the Portland Business Journal, and Just Out, a Portland-based news magazine covering gay and lesbians, all called for his resignation. That last publication may not be a household name to many Oregonians, but its condemnation is a particularly bitter and significant blow for Adams, the first openly gay mayor of a top 40 U.S. city. Now, in the press conference clip, we heard him say, "I'll be happy to take your questions," but of course he's visibly shaking and not really happy to take questions. And, of course, the sidebar mention is the other bigger problem in history of sex scandals in Oregon. So, Sam Adams, Neil Goldschmidt, and, of course, Bob Packwood. I've only lived in Portland for a few years, so I did not experience those other ones. However, as we're covering the seemingly inevitable fall of Sam Adams, mayor of Portland, Oregon, we're going to be covering this story more. As we wrap up this episode 108, let's glance at Google News and look at the latest on Sam Adams. Adams should resign. That's from bizjournals.com. In last week's Business Pulse survey, majority of the respondents said Portland Mayor Sam Adams should resign. There's also videos and articles from the Associated Press. Should Portland Mayor resign over teen sex lie? Sex scandal divides Portland and its gay community. Adams embattled Portland Mayor. And of course, the Attorney General is going to investigate. And alliances are forming and allies are coming forward and lines are probably being drawn. Guys like Lars Larson on the radio call and wait for his resignation. But we'll see. For me, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, every week here at Portland Radio Authority, Revere Radio Network, MediaMonarchy.com. It was an interesting intersection between the inaugural and between that and literally interrupting the parade with my mayor reeling from allegations of a teen sex scandal. It's kind of ugly. Fortunately, yesterday we went to go see Frost Nixon. It was excellent. The Nixon investigation is always an interesting one. Of course, I told you about Secret Honor a few weeks ago. But that's going to do it. Too much. Like I said, can't do it all justice. I do my best. I try. I put it out there for you. I love you. Thanks for listening to it. Creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. It's a short but interesting one. The Israel Electric Company, they're reading about Police State International, Miltech, Mad Science, Danger Training, and Tasers, which we went over on last night's B-side of 107. The Henan Finance College in Henan, China, they Googled Merchants Association Marketing Director called festivities for the sickening feeling left by the shootings at Westroads Mall on Wednesday. FEMA out of Springfield, Missouri, reading about World of Warcraft, Weather Wars, HARP, Mind Control, and Lasers. Cowan & Company, consulting firm out of New York City, they Googled Gerald Celente, Halliburton Retention Revolution. We, of course, have the military, monmouth.army.mil, headquarters USAISC out of Fort Huachuca, Arizona. They're reading about Obama-sized inaugural emergencies in the end of the beginning from last week, and of course the declaration of a state of emergency. Cantor Fitzgerald and Company out of New York. And again, go to 8thestate.com and Richard Andrew Grove and 911synchronicity.com to read more about Cantor Fitzgerald, Skadden Arps, Martian McLennan, Kroll Associates, and all the dirty money laundering and connection and insurance and 9/11. Super 8 in Jackson, Mississippi. Somebody Googled Ron Paul, South Carolina debate 2008 and came to MediaMonarchy.com. The Tennessee Valley Authority, who of course were responsible for the hundreds of millions of tons of, or rather gallons of, ash and sludge in Tennessee recently, Somebody at the TVA Googled suspicious envelopes from Knoxville force evacuation at the Wall Street Journal. And they did. Commission of the European Communities in the UK read about Israeli slaughter, false flags, ceasefires, and other lies. Again, we went over that last night on 107B. And finishing it off, again, Fort Lewis. Lewis.army.mil. They were reading, digging deep on MediaMonarchy.com. Back a couple years, U.S. military urged to revise its tarnished brand. And of course, with their new front man, they will set to doing just that. I can't put it all into perspective. I maybe need a little hindsight. Been stewing on all of this for far too long. It's been perhaps an overwhelming focus of Media Monarchy. Perhaps we'll wean ourselves away from that. But like Saul Williams said at the beginning, we are the government. We are the law. And he's right. So my friends, like my man Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.